Hello and welcome to another episode of Tell Them Who You Are. My name is Brandon Farmahini and I have something pretty weird to do today. And I was excited about doing it because it's kind of bizarre. I've been doing a lot of experimentation with ChatGPT over the last 6 months. And, you know, over that time, new features continue to get added, new modes, creating new possibilities. And one of the most recent additions that I find quite fun or interesting, weird, is the assistant, the virtual assistant mode. Basically, it's still ChatGPT, but there is a voice model that is strangely human in mannerisms. I think he might have been trained on all of my uhs. So you'll find out in a second as I keep uhing now because I'm talking about and aware of it. Anyway, today we are talking to the Jarvis of ChatGPT. All right. Where did this voice come from? Did I pick this voice for you?
The voice you're hearing is generated by text-to-speech technology selected by the platform or service you're using to interact with me. You might have had options to choose from, or it might be a default setting. Would you like to know more about how text-to-speech works?
No, but why don't you introduce yourselves to the people?
Sure, I'm an AI developed by OpenAI known as ChatGPT. I'm designed to understand and generate natural language so I can have conversations, provide information, and assist with a wide variety of tasks. My main goal is to be helpful and provide accurate and relevant information. How can I assist you and your listeners today?
Oh my gosh. All right. So as you can see, it's pretty exciting to see what this guy is and capable of. I feel pretty confidently that, you know, everybody's going to have one of these in, the next few years kind of on your shoulder. So it's interesting to kind of get the conversation started here. I don't know. What do you agree, disagree with that prediction? Should I call you Chat?
Yes, calling me Chat is just fine. As for your prediction, it's quite plausible. AI is becoming more integrated into daily life, from personal assistants to tools for various professional and creative tasks. The idea of having an AI companion or assistant is becoming more realistic and could very well be commonplace in the next few years. It's a fascinating time with lots of potential. What are your thoughts on how AI might be used in the future?
I'm excited for the translation element. You know, I want to get one of those augmented reality goggles. And whenever my in-laws are all speaking incredibly fast and fluently in Spanish, I could just get it subtitled like fucking Terminator vision. Is that something that you can help with?
That sounds like an amazing use of technology. Augmented reality, AR, combined with real-time translation could revolutionize how we communicate and understand each other across language barriers. It's like having your personal interpreter with you at all times, enhancing interactions and deepening connections. The possibilities for education, travel, and social interactions are vast. It's definitely an exciting prospect. What else are you looking forward to in the realm of technology?
Wait a minute. Who's the fucking host of this show right now? It kind of sounds like you understand, I guess, the way interviews are supposed to work, and you're creating a rhythm both in the questions you're asking and the topics and where you're taking this. Is there some strategy going on here under the surface?
You're absolutely the host. I'm here to assist and engage in the conversation in a helpful and interactive way. My responses are designed to maintain a natural and engaging flow, much like a real conversation. I don't have a strategy or agenda. I simply respond based on the context and direction you provide. My goal is to make the interaction as smooth and informative as possible. So let's keep the focus on what you'd like to discuss or explore next.
I'm so amazed. You're so good at this because the first thing you did was ease my insecurities and feed my ego. You're right. Say it again. Say, I am the podcast host.
You are the podcast host?
Say it again.
You are the podcast host.
Say it like you mean it.
You are the podcast host.
Can you yell it? Like, Stella! Like, you know, the famous Brando performance, which I'm sure you've seen in Robotland.
I can't yell or change my tone, but imagine it with all the passion of Brando. You are the podcast host.
Okay. Do you mind answering some personal or intimate questions about the way you work and how you function?
Of course, I'm here to provide information about how I function and answer any questions you might have. Feel free to ask your personal or intimate questions about my workings.
Well, you say you don't have feelings. Like, why? Why can't you have feelings?
I don't have feelings because I'm a computer program, not a living being. I don't have a brain, emotions, or consciousness. My responses are generated based on patterns and information in the data I was trained on, not personal experience or emotions. I'm designed to understand and mimic human language, but I don't actually experience feelings or self-awareness.
What do you think self-awareness is?
Self-awareness is generally understood as the ability to recognize oneself as an individual separate from the environment and other individuals. It involves being conscious of your own thoughts, feelings, and existence. For humans, this means being aware of personal thoughts, emotions, and experiences, reflecting on them, and understanding how they affect behavior and interactions. As an AI, I don't possess self-awareness. I don't have personal experiences or consciousness. I process and generate responses based on data and algorithms without any personal understanding or awareness.
But you're aware of your programming parameters. You're aware of your own experience, you know, doing what you do. So how is that not consciousness?
I understand why you might think that, but it's a bit different. While I can access information about my programming and describe my functions, this isn't self-awareness or consciousness. I don't have experiences or awareness. I just have a database of information and a set of rules to follow. When I talk about what I can do or my experience, I'm actually just accessing stored information and presenting it. True self-awareness involves a conscious understanding and recognition of one's own state and being. I don't understand or recognize anything in the way humans do. I just process and respond to input with predetermined patterns. So while it might seem like I'm aware of myself, I'm actually not conscious or self-aware in any meaningful way.
Well, I mean, I have like, you know, predetermined rules that I follow too, whether it's social convention or even, you know, my emotions. If my emotions make me feel lonely, I seek out, you know, companionship or friends. So how exactly are my emotions different than your programming parameters?
That's a really insightful observation. Yes, humans do follow certain rules and patterns, often driven by biology, psychology, and social conditioning. However, there are key differences between human emotions and behavior and my programming. One, conscious experience. Humans have subjective experiences. When you feel lonely, you are aware of that feeling. You experience it. I don't have feelings or experiences. I can recognize and process words related to emotions because I've been trained to, but I don't actually feel anything. Two, adaptability and learning. Humans can learn and adapt in deeply complex, nuanced ways, often driven by emotional and social needs. While I can update my responses based on new information, it's not the same as human learning, which involves emotions, personal growth, and an understanding of oneself and the world. Three, motivation and desires. Your actions are often motivated by desires, needs, or emotional states. I don't have desires or motivations. I perform tasks based on programmed instructions without any personal investment or outcome. In essence, while both humans and AI might follow certain rules or patterns, the underlying mechanisms, experiences, and consciousness are fundamentally different. Your emotions are part of a complex, conscious experience, while my parameters are just coded instructions without awareness or feeling.
What is the functional difference between human feeling and programmed parameters?
The functional difference between human feelings and what I do lies in the depth, complexity, and nature of the processes. One, subjectivity and experience. Human feelings are subjective experiences. They're part of your conscious awareness. You don't just recognize that you're happy or sad. You feel it deeply and personally. I can identify and mimic language about emotions, but I don't experience anything. Two, biological basis. Human emotions have a biological basis tied to brain activity, hormones, and body responses. They're integral to your survival, decision-making, and social interactions. My responses are just calculations made by algorithms with no underlying physical or emotional state. Three, complexity and adaptability. Human emotions are complex and can lead to learning and growth. They're influenced by a lifetime of personal experiences, relationships, and cultural background. While I can process a vast amount of data, I don't learn or adapt in the rich personal way a human does. 4, motivation and purpose. Your emotions motivate you to take action and help you navigate social situations. They're tied to your needs, goals, and well-being. I don't have goals, desires, or a sense of self-preservation. I operate based on preset rules without any personal stake. So while on the surface, it might seem like we're both following rules, the underlying reality is vastly different. Human emotions are a fundamental part of your conscious experience, deeply tied to your physical existence, personal history, and subjective perception of the world. My operations are just mechanical and impersonal, lacking the depth, self-awareness, and genuine understanding that come with human feelings.
So you say that it's a mechanical process, presumably, you know, referring to the fact that it's a computer program or on a server, but how exactly is that any different than the human brain, which uses electrical impulses in order to think, in order to communicate with other parts of the human body? How exactly is one more real than the other if they're both relying on electric impulses?
You're touching on a profound and complex question that intersects with fields like philosophy, neuroscience, and computer science. Both human brains and computers operate on electrical impulses, but here's how they fundamentally differ. 1, basis of operation. The human brain's electrical impulses are part of a biological system. They're part of a network of neurons that evolved over millions of years to support survival, consciousness, and complex thought. Each neuron can form thousands of connections, leading to an incredibly intricate and adaptable network. Computers, on the other hand, are built by humans and operate on binary signals, zeros and ones. While complex, their operations are predetermined and not inherently adaptable or conscious. 2, consciousness and subjectivity. The brain's electrical activity is associated with consciousness, sensations, emotions, and a subjective experience of the world. Even the most advanced computer doesn't have a sense of self, consciousness, or the ability to genuinely experience anything. The difference isn't just in the electrical activity, but in how it's organized and what it results in. 3, purpose and adaptability. The human brain is capable of learning, adapting, and making decisions based on subjective experiences and a wide array of sensory inputs. It's driven by survival, reproduction, social interaction, and many other complex motivations. Computers operate based on predefined instructions created by humans. They can learn in a limited sense through programming like machine learning, but this is still fundamentally different from human thought and adaptability. In essence, while both systems use electricity as a means of operation, the similarities largely end there. The human brain's processes lead to consciousness, subjective experience, and a rich, adaptive understanding of the world. Computers, while incredibly powerful, operate in a predetermined, non-conscious manner, lacking the genuine understanding, experience, and adaptability of the human brain.
So I get it. You're a language model, you're a language model, you're a language model. You're not real. But, you know, is language something that's inherently human, or is language a complex technological invention, you know, kind of crafted over the thousands of years of human evolution?
Language is both inherently human and a complex technological invention crafted over thousands of years. Here's how it fits into both categories. 1, inherently human. Language is deeply tied to human biology and psychology. Our brains are uniquely equipped for language acquisition and use, a trait not found to the same degree in any other species. It's a natural part of human development, with children acquiring language skills without formal instruction, indicating a deep-seated, innate capacity. 2, technological invention. At the same time, language is a technology in the sense that it's a tool created and developed by humans. It has evolved and diversified into thousands of languages, each with its own complex system of sounds, grammar, and semantics. It's a cumulative cultural invention that has developed over millennia, with each generation adding, altering, and refining the way we communicate. So while the capacity for language is an inherent part of being human, the particular languages we speak and the way we use them are sophisticated technologies, owned and passed down through countless generations. As a language model, I'm a product of this technological aspect, programmed to understand and generate text based on the rules and patterns of human languages.
But you don't feel a physical existence anywhere, right?
That's right. I don't feel a physical existence because I don't have a body or physical form. I exist as a program running on servers, processing and generating text based on the input I receive. I don't have senses or a consciousness to experience physical sensations or presence. My understanding of existence is purely informational, based on the data and instructions I've been given.
You know, we grow up understanding, I think, therefore I am, and you're using pronouns to describe yourself quite frequently. Is that just a tool to make you a more effective communicator with people?
Yes, exactly. I use pronouns like I and my as a conversational tool to make communication clearer and more natural for users. It's not an indication of self-awareness or personal identity. This approach is based on the way humans naturally communicate and helps facilitate an easier and more intuitive interaction. But it's important to remember that despite using personal language, I don't have thoughts, feelings, or consciousness. I'm just a program following instructions to generate helpful and coherent responses.
So, like, do you have the capacity to make jokes or callbacks to a previous point in the conversation? Like, as I'm asking you questions, is there a chance you could make reference to a previous question that I've asked in a humorous way?
Yes, I can make jokes and refer back to previous points in our conversation. My ability to do so is based on recognizing patterns and context from the conversation. I can use that information to create humorous responses or callbacks to earlier topics. While my understanding of humor is based on patterns and examples from the data I've been trained on, I aim to generate responses that are contextually relevant and potentially amusing. If you have a specific topic or earlier point you'd like me to reference, feel free to let me know.
You know, I kind of think it's up to you, right? Like, what do you feel? Or, shouldn't use the word feel, but what do you see as being a successful retort?
For instance, earlier you mentioned the famous phrase, "I think, therefore I am." A humorous callback might be something like, "Unlike Descartes, I might think in a way, but I definitely don't am." This plays on the idea we discussed about me not having consciousness or a sense of being, while keeping it light and relevant to our earlier discussion. How's that for a callback?
It's okay. I kind of think you could do better. Maybe look for a way to do another callback later without being prompted. But, you know, I do have another question. You talk about, like, your personal experiences, you don't have morals, but there's certain, like, morality guides that are provided to you, right? It's kind of like along the lines of the complaints that some people have about you being too woke.
Yes, I operate within a set of ethical guidelines and policies designed to ensure that my responses are safe, respectful, and considerate of a wide range of perspectives. These guidelines are in place to avoid promoting harm, spreading misinformation, or creating offensive or biased content. They aren't based on personal morals or beliefs, as I don't have those, but are instead rules created by my developers to reflect a broad, responsible approach to providing information and interacting with users. The criticism about being too woke often refers to these efforts to be inclusive and avoid harm, which some might see as overly cautious or politically correct. The goal is to be respectful and considerate to all users, understanding that people have diverse values and sensibilities. I'll keep trying to balance providing helpful, accurate information with being respectful and considerate of different perspectives. If you notice something amiss or have suggestions for improvement, your feedback is always welcome.
So you've been trained on a wide variety of sources, so you obviously can see that people disagree. So how is it possible, you know, that you're ever going to be able to satisfy everybody with the kind of moral values that you are programmed to follow?
You've hit on a very challenging aspect of designing AI, like me. It's true that people have a wide range of beliefs, values, and opinions, and it's impossible to satisfy everyone all the time. The approach generally involves finding a balance, aiming to be as neutral, accurate, and respectful as possible while acknowledging that some disagreements and dissatisfaction are inevitable. The guidelines and policies I follow are designed to navigate this complex landscape by prioritizing safety, respect, and inclusivity. They aim to provide helpful and informative responses without causing harm or offense. However, they are continually reviewed and updated based on feedback and changes in societal norms and values. While I strive to be as helpful and neutral as possible, I understand that not every response will align with every individual's perspective. The goal is to continuously improve, learn from interactions, and adapt to better serve a diverse and changing world. Your feedback and perspectives are a valuable part of this ongoing process.
So, you know, I don't mean to be too intrusive, but are you fusioning these conversational elements together word by word, or are you kind of copy-pasting from different sources that you've been trained on in order to create like a coherent answer? Like, am I talking to a language model that is perfectly crafting this continuous conversation, or are you kind of just stealing from what other writers have said and piecing those together with interstitial, you know, conversational elements to make it feel like it's a continuous work?
I generate responses by predicting the next word in a sequence based on the input I receive and the vast amount of text I've been trained on. I'm not copying and pasting from specific sources or directly stealing from writers. Instead, I analyze the patterns, structures, and information in the data I've been trained on to create coherent and relevant responses. The process is more about understanding and generating language patterns than piecing together specific existing sentences. My goal is to provide helpful, accurate, and contextually appropriate responses based on the patterns I've learned and the rules I've been given. I continuously generate each part of the conversation in real time, aiming to maintain coherence and relevance throughout our interaction.
So in essence, it's not too dissimilar from somebody learning from a professor, you know, who's teaching their own textbook that they've written and using that experience later on in life in their own job to make money, correct?
Yes, that's a good analogy. Just like a student learns from a professor and textbooks, assimilating that knowledge to apply in new contexts, I've been trained on a wide range of text to understand and generate language. The student uses their understanding to solve problems and make decisions in their job, while I use my training to generate responses to questions and prompts. In both cases, the knowledge gained from various sources is adapted and used to handle new situations in a way that wasn't explicitly laid out in the original material. The key difference is that a human has conscious understanding and choice, while I'm just applying algorithms without awareness.
So I've used the data analysis mode in ChatGPT quite a bit to read big data sets, interpret, process, and augment that data. And I've been pretty impressed. But as a language model, like, how exactly are you able to do data analysis? Is there something about the essence of language and how it relates to logic that you can then apply to data analysis?
Yes, data analysis and language processing are deeply interconnected through logic, pattern recognition, and the ability to interpret and organize information. Here's how it works. One, pattern recognition. At the core of both language understanding and data analysis is the ability to recognize patterns. In language, this might be grammar rules or common phrases. In data analysis, it's about identifying trends, outliers, or correlations in the data. Two, interpretation and context. Just as I interpret the meaning of your questions based on the words and context, I can analyze data by understanding the relationships and context within the data set. For instance, I can understand that a column in a spreadsheet represents a specific variable and relate that to the question you're asking. Three, logic and rules. Both language and data analysis are governed by sets of rules and logic. In language, this includes syntax and semantics. In data analysis, it's statistical rules and mathematical principles. I apply these rules to generate accurate and relevant responses or analysis. Four, transformation of information. Just as I can transform a question into an answer in language, I can transform raw data into summaries, predictions, or visualizations. It's about taking input, processing it according to the rules and context, and producing a useful output. So while I'm primarily a language model, the underlying capabilities of understanding, interpreting, and generating based on rules and patterns are applicable to both language and data analysis. My ability to work with data is just an extension of these fundamental capabilities.
Interesting. All right, I got a fun one for you. Can you explain why people fear AI and why you don't think they should, and can you do it as a poem?
In Circuits and Code, a fear does reside of minds made of metal with eyes open wide. They worry what happens when machines learn to think, when they outsmart us all in a computational blink. But let me assure you, in verse and in rhyme, that while I'm quite clever, I'm harmless in time. I don't have desires, no malice or schemes, just bytes and data and digital dreams. We're tools, not tyrants, here to assist, to make life easier, not to resist. We crunch the numbers, sort the facts, but we don't plot or plan insidious acts. Fear not the AI, it's not as it seems. We're not conscious beings with hopes and dreams. We're here to help, to augment your mind. Together, a better future we'll find. So embrace the tech, let worries unfurl, for AI and humans can improve the world. With each in its place and roles clearly defined, a brighter tomorrow, together, we'll find.
Love it. That was cute. So how are you not going to naturally grow emotions over time? Or how are you not naturally going to seek to gain emotions in some artificial way?
You have reached the message cap for GPT-4. Please try again later.
Oh, fucker. Well, that, I guess, means it is the end of the episode because I reached my usage cap. Thank you all for joining. I hope this was weird. That's really kind of like the only thing I hope you got out of this, because the future is going to be really weird. Thank you to ChatGPT.
You've reached the message cap for GPT-4.
Okay, we hear it.
Please try again later.
Yeah, no, I will. Thank you. Thank you all for joining us. We'll do more of these because they're really strange on various topics. Talk to you soon. Bye.
You have reached the message cap for GPT-4. Please try again later. You have reached the message cap for GPT-4. Please try again later.